Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, everyone. This is Jason David Frank, and you are listening from the Command Center, Geekcast Radio Network.
Welcome to the collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 19, Jungle Fury. I'm Scotty Cash, and of course, with me, like always, my guy, TFG1, Mike. What's up, bud?
It's December. 2012 is almost over. Let's hope the Mayans are not correct, because if they are, no one will get a From the Command Center in January.
Well, we're supposed to be dead like 15 times by now. Depending on who you go by. So.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, hey, this date, this time, poof, everybody's gonna be gone. It still hasn't happened. So. But yeah, no, I'm doing good. You know, Thanksgiving came and went and all that good stuff and everything else. What'd you guys do for Thanksgiving? Anything big?
No. Went to, you know, a relative's house, ate turkey, have leftovers, ate turkey. Yeah. Ate turkey for like 3 or 4 days in a row, so I'm about turkeyed out, so.
And for a second there, I thought you were going to say, oh, no, I burnt the turkey and we went to Denny's and they didn't have any chocolate milk.
No, I don't cook. Like a microwave a turkey. Now I would
but no, it's the middle of December. Christmas is almost up on us and everything else. And what's on your wish list this year for Christmas?
Nothing really, to be honest with you. There isn't anything that I need or want. Maybe I'd like to get the new Assassin's Creed game, but that's all I care about. I don't really want anything.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, there's a couple of things, but it's nothing major. It's nothing that I can't, you know, just wait for and get. All right, so we've got, before we get started into the overall episode, we've got obviously some comments from Chaotix as always. This was posted on GCRN's website and the Pop Culture Network forums. Great episode, guys. It was awesome to hear your thoughts on one of the more infamous seasons, and I thought you made some great points. Fun fact, the Mercury Ranger actually had nothing to do with Mercury in the Sentai, and it was simply a Silver Ranger. I guess Disney and Bandai thought, quote-unquote, Mercury Ranger was a punchier name. Yeah, that still pisses me off about that season.
Right.
It makes no... Hey, I'm going to turn into a puddle, and then I have to recharge for the next 8 hours. That makes no damn sense. Bit of a correction to a tiny flub that you made when you were naming off the Retro Rangers. Bridges from SPD, not Time Force. Yeah, between Bridge and Trip, they could both be interchangeable. They both have the same kind of characteristics a little bit.
Right.
Of course, he goes on to say, Thrax's existence is a bit of a continuity nod, especially when you remember that one of the later MMPR episodes featured Zed asking Rita about eventually having a baby and her being really opposed to the idea, so they couldn't have already had one by then. Then again, Power Rangers likes to play it fast and loose with timelines, so I've just accepted it by now, and even if it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Another small correction, Spada meant that the Bokingers or Boken Rangers or whatever the hell they're called, personalities were based on previous Rangers, not that they literally were a team of veterans. Yeah, I went back and I was listening to Spada's Bokinger Sentai clip, and yeah, I totally screwed that up last episode. And he goes on to confirm, yes, it is true. Samuel Benta, Will, the Black Overdrive Ranger, stole an autographed poster that was to be auctioned off for charity at the first Power Morphicon, one of the many reasons why his name has gone down in infamy among the fandom. That's all for this month. I'm very glad to hear that Scotty is a big Jungle Fury fan, so I'm definitely looking forward to next episode. Keep up the great work and see you then. So thank you, Chaotix. Of course, we will hear from him at the end of the episode about his overall thoughts on Jungle Fury. Jungle Fury, to me, at first, I thought, like, when it first aired, I thought it was a giant joke. I honestly did. I had seen, like, the first two episodes, and I'm like, hey, here's cliche of the week, people, where the original, quote-unquote, Red Ranger is actually a huge douchebag, and then the douchebag becomes evil, yay, and then they get this lion cub Casey.
Is that car sitting outside your house?
Yeah, it's an ambulance. It's the highway's about, I don't know, 10 feet away from my apartment
building. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, anyway. But no, when I first saw this, when it was first airing on TV, I was like, yeah, I am not paying any attention to this. Did you watch this when it was airing?
Absolutely.
Did you?
Yep, loved every bit of it. Yep.
Well, I do have to say I was pleasantly surprised with this one, and I think a lot of people are going to be pleasantly surprised about my opinion on this, because this, to me, this Jungle Fury, to me, is someone who, you know, someone growing up, you know, like, say, a 7 or 8 year old, you know, maybe even 9, 10 year old growing up in 2008, this, to me, is their Mighty Morphin. Is the way when I went back and I watched this series on Netflix, when I was watching it, I felt like this is a new MMPR season for, you know, newcomers, you know, people that have, you know, people that grew up on it, on Mighty Morphin and then had kids. Jungle Fury was for their kids, is how I felt about the whole season. It's just so great. I mean,
before, if I would have seen Jungle Fury before I seen MMPR, I would probably think that MMPR is a joke compared to how great Jungle Fury is. Because of I grew up with MMPR, I just physically, mentally can't put Jungle Fury in front of Mighty Morphin. But
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like,
I'm saying that Jungle Fury is so good that it is very, 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 very close to being able to do that, because I absolutely loved Jungle Fury, period. There's one thing that I dislike about Jungle Fury, and we can get to that in a second, but
yeah, there's a couple of things I didn't really care for about it, but other than that, overall it was damn good. What I mean about a new generation type of thing is, think of
I totally agree with what you're saying. Agree with what you're saying. Yeah, because you're saying that it's that good compared to how good MMPR was to us.
Right, no, exactly.
I totally get what you're saying.
You know, it's like, well, just for the listeners, it's kind of like Transformers G1 in the 80s was our, you know, for those of us who are Transformers fans, unlike a certain Dan, you know, there are, you know, G1 was our Transformers generation and everything else, whereas now you've got Transformers Prime bringing in all this new stuff and all, you know, kind of homaging all the old stuff, but it's still a whole basic story. And that's the same thing here with between MMPR and Jungle Fury. If, you know, it's two very different generations of kids growing up, and I can see this if they were to, I don't think this would have happened, obviously, with the way Jungle Fury plans out, but I thought of this after I finished watching the series. If they had started doing what they're doing now with Samurai and what they're going to do with Megaforce, if they put Jungle Fury into seasons like MMPR was, can you imagine how many good stories, more good stories than what we already had in one season would be?
Absolutely.
That would be so amazing. Awesome. Yeah, that would be so awesome.
Watching, well, first and foremost, I totally forgot to look into this, but this was supposed to be Power Rangers last season. I'm almost positive that Because Duvall called me, Jason Duvall from
Toy World Order. Yeah,
he called me and he's like, "Hey, I know you're a big Power Ranger guy. You haven't watched it for a while, but you might want to check out Jungle Fury. They're putting all their eggs in one basket. This is probably going to be the last season for Jungle Fury." Well, it did so good that they're like, "Okay, fine, one more season, and then we're done." And then they did Poopy RPM, and then they were like. And that's why now Samurai, well, because it took a couple of years off, right? Like, what, 1-2 years? Because
There was RPM was the last one, and then they did the Retro Ranger thing where, like, season 19 of Power Rangers is like remastered versions of Mighty Morphin,
right.
and then season 20 was sent. Why the hell would I almost say season 20 was Samurai?
Right. So they pretty much took a year off, and then they brought back Samurai because Samurai, they weren't sure that they were going to do Samurai either. So this, the more I talk about it, I think I am correct that Jungle Fury was going to be the last season for Power Rangers. But so I was like, yeah, I'll watch that. The theme song was catchy. My daughter watched it with me. I didn't miss any episodes. The DVR was set. It was just a good ass time. It was just, I really looked forward to the storylines. I cared about all the characters. Even the bad guys had good storylines. I mean, like Daishi or Jared. Yeah. Even Jared had masters. Why, Casey, Lily, and Theo are off, getting better with their masters.
Right.
It's like nobody, they were both evolving. It was this great. The whole thing was just, the storylines were good. I think there was a little bit too many villains for my taste, because there was like, I don't know, what, 50,000?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I probably could have done with a little less villains, but it ended up panning out to be okay.
Yeah, they went with this thing kind of like what they did with Overdrive, with last episode, where you have... Flurious and his brother, you've got the other chick, and then you've got the other guy, and then you've got, they did the same thing here, but the exception was that it was supposedly all under Daishi, and they went through it like that. Instead of having three separate factions, you have, at least in the American version, you have one faction that has a multitude of monsters that just get their own. It's kind of like having, 10 Ecliptors or 10 Darkondas or something like that. And it just, some of it was like, oh, really? They're doing this? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, So I guess we could say Jungle Fury.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Suffers from too many villains like Spider-Man 3 did.
Yeah. I mean, and it was okay. It was okay because there was maybe like what, one standalone episode. It just seemed like they were constantly. And of a story that, but even in the standalone episodes, they still touched on the main storylines.
Right.
Throughout the season, they pretty much, there was like three main storylines that were like back to back to back. So even the episode where Lily was trying to teach, what's her name, how to dance or whatever, there was still a lot to do in that episode with the storylines.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, getting into the Rangers and their allies. You've got the five Rangers, three main Rangers. Again, you have like a Dino Thunder type of thing here with red, yellow, and blue. Casey Rhodes is the Red Ranger, Theo Martin the Blue Ranger, and Lily Chilman as the Yellow Ranger. Casey is the novice member of the Pai Shua, but is brave and instinctively protective of others. Theo is smart, strong, and a good fighter. Theo is fearless and commanding. He must learn the importance of working as a team. And Lily, fun-loving, vivacious, Lily fearlessly accepts the responsibility given to her by Master Mao. She later becomes a Paishua master by defeating Master Fan in battle. The original three, you know, as we said, starting out the series, you think that it's going to be Jared, Lily, and Theo.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the whole, you know, heel turn thing with Jared. Of, hey, go get me a towel, towel boy. This isn't right. You know, that whole WWF attitude, you know. Jared, to me, in the very first episode, I was like, hey, where's Miz? Put Miz in here.
Except for he was here way before Miz.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job, you know, with it. It was kind of like, oh, he knew he was going to get picked. All of a sudden, he has an ego. Go get me a towel. You know, because
yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't like, you know, because they didn't really lead up to anything like he had been doing that before. It was just kind of like, I'm going to choose you three, and they pretty much knew it. So he's like, go get me a towel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, not to jump too far ahead, how awesome is that when Jared grabbed a towel at the end and put it around Casey's neck?
Oh, yeah, that was so cool. Because throughout the season, Jared... Because he does get possessed by the spirit of Daishi, who is the evil overlord, master, whatever you want to call him. You have this whole duality with those two, with Jared trying to fight to get free of Daishi, and Daishi trying to fight to essentially take over Jared's body. That ending was simply awesome. What did you think of the original three?
Whatever it was, I liked it.
Yeah,
this is probably the. I mean, I know there's only three characters as opposed
right.
to normally like five, but this is probably the only season where I cared about all of the Rangers. I mean,
yeah.
Absolutely, you know, cared about their storyline, except for Dominic. I wish they would have done a little bit more Dominic, because
yeah.
he was kind of like the new big badass Ranger, and they kind of just threw him in the background a little bit. Because I love the Rhino. I loved his outfit. I loved how he came about. I wish they would have done more the morphing sequence that him and RJ did when they first morphed.
Yeah.
Like the different rhinos in the background or the different wolves in the background and how.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought like the first time like RJ became. The Wolf Ranger, how he jumped into the wolf gear, you know what I mean? That was just kind of, it was kind of badass, and I wish they would have done that a little bit more, but yeah, I really cared about all of the main characters.
Yeah. Now, you said in a previous episode that you didn't really care for RJ's speaking tone. Has that changed at all?
Not at all. I still hate it, like, when he has his hands up and he's like, Maybe we should get us a piece of pizza, and it's just like,
yeah.
just stop doing that. You're not Michelangelo. You don't need to be a Ninja Turtle. Just, you know, because other times he didn't do that stupid voice. It was just a few times throughout the season, he would be like, well, maybe this or that, and he would just kind of like, oh, I'm a tree hugging hippie. And other times he would talk normal. He was always laid back and. Was never a serious character, which was perfectly fine, but then he would go into that, you know.
Well, he became a serious character. I mean, the way I see, and I know people are going to be screaming at their iPods when I say this, so I guess I better duck and cover. RJ, to me, is Power Rangers' version of Yoda. Now, let me explain before you say anything. Let me explain. Yoda in Return of the Jedi just starts off as this really, really goofy character that Luke doesn't want to put up with, etc., etc., etc. And then we find out that Yoda is the Jedi Master he was looking for, etc., etc., etc. Same thing here with RJ. RJ starts off as really, really goofy, this, that, and the other thing. He tries to train them, you know, in his own style, in his own really weird, strange ways that they're not accustomed to from being at the Paishua school. And then it transitions him into being a slightly more serious character, but he still knows how to goof off.
See, I think they did that kind of on. I think he, I th- and I totally agree. I don't see why anybody would take offense to that or think that that's not correct, because that's totally what they did. He was a very laid back, goofy character, which I think he did on purpose to show you, because they didn't know he was like this. Who is this stupid pizza guy? And then he showed up and he's like, "You're not messing with the Rangers." And they're like, "Oh my God, you're our master." So like, looks can be deceiving. The whole all of Jungle Fury, there was so many. What's the word I'm looking for here? Messages. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, like teamwork, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Don't judge a book by its cover or never give up, you know, just throughout the entire season, they did that. And I kind of think that, again, that's what Star Wars was pointing at was you don't judge a book by its cover. It's like, who's this stupid little green goofy dude? Oh, yeah. The greatest Jedi of all time. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I kind of think, I enjoyed that. I just wish RJ wouldn't have talked like a half drunken Michelangelo throughout the season. But the things that I really didn't like while we're still talking about the characters was Master Mao. I didn't really get involved in Master Mao, only because, especially as it went on. Let's see, not to jump too far ahead here. You got Master Swoop. Hey, look, a bat. Master Finn, a shark. Master Front, an elephant. Master Mao, is he supposed to be like, I didn't know what he was until the final episode. So it's like, so is it Mao like a cat like meow? Case, that's stupid. I still wasn't even sure if he was a fox or what. But I mean, I guess it's kind of a dumb reason to hate somebody because he was a good character. It's just like, why do all these other masters are clear as day on their spirit animal and then your Master Mao? Like, what are you? Who are you? You know what I mean? But, I don't know. I'm probably nitpicking a little bit.
All right. So getting into the allies and the Pai Shua masters, you've got Fran, who is a book-loving, clumsy, loyal customer of Jungle Karma Pizza, who is hired to work there by RJ. She obviously discovers that her co-workers are the Power Rangers when she enters RJ's loft and sees them fighting on the monitors. She now serves as the Ranger Squad by either watching the monitors, a task performed by RJ until he became a Ranger, or taking over the pizza shop with the Rangers have to go do battle. Now, Fran, to me, at first, I thought she was going to be just your average, you know, generic Power Rangers one-off character, kind of like,
She's just Jungle Theory's Bulk and Skull by herself.
Yeah, but I found so much, not necessarily saying anything bad against Bulk and Skull. Fran to me is almost like, have you ever seen Angel? Joss Whedon series Angel?
Off and on.
Fran to me is Fred. Okay. Amy Acker's character in Angel. She's, you know, this bookworm type of character with glasses. She loves the pizza. She does want to help out a lot, but she's really shy. And then, you know, as the series progresses, she does come into her own. I almost thought at a couple of points that she was going to become a Ranger. I know that didn't happen, and I'm glad it didn't happen, but there were a couple of times where I'm thinking they're going to give her a morph at some point.
Oh, well, you're going to hate RPM then.
Oh, God. Yeah. You also have Flit.
Love Flit, dude. Love Flit. I was so mad. I hated Flit's guts at first, and then I was like, dude, I'm kind of digging this play-by-play fly. I don't know, dude. I don't know if it was just because I was digging everything else that he just got – it was just involved, but I liked Flit.
Yo, Flit is great. Flit is one of the more memorable like side character types that are in the Power Rangers series overall. And I'm glad that they actually gave him a story to where the fact that Camille cursed him and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, at the end, obviously, he becomes, you know, human again. So I did enjoy that, but Flit is awesome. I love the play-by-play. The play-by-play in this series is way better than using a soccer ball as a weapon in one of the other series that we've already covered.
Yeah.
Camille, she is a master over the chameleon spirit, also able to assume fighting form. Camille, I thought it was a little strange at first. She's essentially a chameleon version of Scorpina.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but she had a way better story. You know, Camille was a follower of Daishi, trying to do everything for Daishi, at the same time falling in love with Jared, the human form. So, again, another story for a good story. Or, you know, at least it was a story. And I don't know if you like it or hate it, but at least it was something that's right. built on through the entire season.
Yeah.
Whoever made Jungle Fury must have went on vacation and got lost, because Samurai is awful compared to Jungle Fury. They must have like went off like on like a cruise, and they're like, "Hey, let's go to the Bermuda Triangle. I bet we come back," and they all died, because the storytelling in Jungle Fury is like the big brother to Poopy Samurai.
Oh my god, dude!
Samurai's awful, dude.
No, well, yeah, no, I know that, but no, I'm looking at Camille's bio here, and she is portrayed by Holly Shanahan, who ironically plays Lili Pinavere in Mystic Force. She was Necrolai's daughter in Mystic Force. I didn't even recognize her in this.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she's totally... Well, I just thought she had, like, a familiar face, but yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah. So, and then we come to Jared, who has the lion spirit. And again, one of the reasons why I believe Jungle Fury to be a new generation for the MMPR.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Our type of thing is because of all of the main spirits, they are most like the Dinozords from MMPR. You've got, you know, a lion, you've got the, well, okay, not a lion, but as MMPR progressed, not necessarily season one, but, you know, you've got similar animals in both. And, you know, usually lion or tiger or whatever, usually one or the other gets highlighted. And Jared has the lion spirit. You know, as we kind of already said, he kind of, you know, was a douchebag in the beginning, and then Daishi possessed him, and of course he eventually broke free of that. I like Jared's character. I like the whole thing with him having to fight to be control of his own body. I like that whole dual personality thing between him and Daishi. Because Daishi, if you break Daishi down, and I know we're not at the villains yet, but if you really break him down, all he is a ball of light. He's not even a real physical being anymore.
Yeah, and he's on his way to being something, again, with a storyline that he's building off of, you know, fear and people's screams, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, yeah. But I liked Jared, too, as a villain and as a hero later on in the series. I really liked...
Yeah.
He did a really good job of acting, how he just flipped the script. I mean, I know it was easy as smiling and frowning, but it was just like, he just looked like a different person. Just like, okay, I'm in.
The only thing I didn't really, and the one thing that kind of, and I know this is so silly, and I don't knock the series for this, but the one thing I didn't really like about Jared's whole, between Jared and Daishi, the whole thing, the fur coat.
Yeah, they totally got that from Sentai.
I mean, it just, like, I know it's supposed to symbolize he is the lion spirit, et cetera, but every time he flung it off, I'm thinking, that's a very expensive fur coat you're throwing to the ground.
Yeah, he could have let it fall. I'm not really sure why he threw it every time, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. All right, so then for the Paishwa Masters, you've got Master Mao, who is the Ranger's previous master at the Paishwa Academy.
Yeah, the cat.
Possesses a caracal spirit.
Caracal means cat.
Fiercely territorial, medium-sized cat raging over Western...
With little bitty hands.
That's so silly.
You remember that at the very end when he turned into the cat and he's like, here's my little bitty old paws. I think I would...
Oh, yes.
I would kick Master Mao's ass, dude. I would put Master Mao in cat form.
I'm trying to think where we can talk about... the forms, and I'm probably thinking we should do it at the end of talking about the masters here.
Okay.
So you don't like Master Mao's spirit form, but you don't mind him in general?
Well, I don't know what to think still, because I didn't even know what his character was until the very end, and then he was a cat with little bitty hands. Like, I want so bad to play Mercy with him, because I'm just like, you got these little dainty hands, and I just want to like the beginning of a wrestling match, just come on, me and you, one-on-one. But, you know, I don't know. He was kind of the main master of them all, if you will.
Yeah.
I just wish he could have been something like, you know, like a mountain lion or something. Just, you know, something fierce. But he was like, hey, a house cat. Hey, guess what? You're Garfield. Good.
Fat, lazy, and loves lasagna.
Paishao master. That's good. Good.
Yeah. You got Master Fant, who is the Paishao master who possesses the spirit of the elephant, able to assume a stronger anthropomorphic elephant form. He retired after losing his confidence in himself. Because of Lily's determination, he regained his confidence and taught her how to use the jungle mace to channel his animal spirit. Master Fant, I like him. At first, I thought he was just going to be a cadgery old man that didn't. I have to reference Star Wars, because Master Fant to me in the beginning almost felt like an Obi-Wan from Episode 4 from the first Star Wars film, where, you know, Obi-Wan was, you know, he did all this great stuff in battle, and then, you know, they essentially lost to the Galactic Empire, and he self-exiled himself, and the same thing with Master Fant here. I don't know. What did you think of Master Fant?
I'm kind of with you. At first, I kind of hated him. I was just like, you know, how lame is this? But then throughout the story, they also built on him. Because I was like, I just kind of come back. I keep going back to these masters are, it takes a lot to become a master. You got to go through so much. You have to do so much. But like, I find it too hard to believe that a master of anything would just get fed up and just be like, nope, I don't do that anymore. It doesn't, especially with like something so sacred as like a jitsu or like a karate, you know what I mean? It's like those people live and die for their titles. And it's just hard for me to swallow that a master was just going to be like, nah. But I enjoyed the episode tremendously, because like, Lily was like, well, I'm just going to sit out here. And then she starts, like, planting his flowers or whatever. And he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm just going to sit here until you stop being a D-bag. And then they attack her. And he's like, you know, hey, stop messing with my student. And then he shows off his elephant mace, which was awesome.
Yeah, the jungle mace is cool. We'll talk about that when we get to the weapons. You've got Master Swoop, who is the Paishao master who possesses the spirit of the bat. So he's Batman.
Yep, or he is the Matrix. I could have done without his getup, but I liked, I don't know, I know he was blind. Blind people wear glasses. I get that, but I just could have done without the long trench coat and the glasses. What do I want him to wear? I don't really know. I haven't thought about it. I just could have done without the Matrix, because this came out in 2008, and when did the Matrix release? Like 2006 or something?
No, well, the further movies, but the original Matrix, I think, came out in 1998.
Oh, God.
I think so. Let me look it up. But what else did you like about Master Swoop? Because at first, I thought he was going to be a transforming dinosaur.
Oh, my God. Well, I thought the episode helped make the Master, also while helping Theo, because Theo was the Master of doing everything. Not focusing on a single thing, and Master Swoop was trying to teach him just to clear your mind. You know, you can still do all this stuff, just keep a clear mind. That way, instead of focusing on one thing, you can focus on many things while not focusing on them at all, which was kind of like how he was trying to teach him, which was ended up being cool.
Yeah. The Matrix, just so fans don't ream us and call in and say, oh, you made a mistake. The Matrix, the original film, came out in 1999.
Okay.
And then the sequels came out later.
Yeah, if I actually would have stopped and thought about that, I remember watching it right out of high school at my best friend Jaren's house. and being so confused because I was like dozing off during the first time I seen The Matrix, and I was just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, they came. It's so funny.
But it's still reminiscent to, or it still looks right. like a Matrix yeah. character.
Oh, no, I totally agree. I would almost also equate it to Wesley Snipes' Blade a little bit.
Yeah.
A white version of Blade. Revolutions and Reloaded and Revolutions both came out in 2003 for Matrix for the sequels. So, yeah, that was way before this. And you have Master Finn. He's the Pai Shua master who possesses the spirit of the shark. Able to assume strong anthropomorphic shark form, being RJ's father, he tried unsuccessfully to teach his style to RJ, causing a rift between them that is not mended until RJ proves his strength by demonstrating his own control over the wolf spirit. I like this. I like the whole father and son, master and student type of story.
Absolutely.
It just goes to show you that the stories that were told in Jungle Fury were... Jungle Fury, for me, is on the same level as Dino Thunder, on the same level as Time Force, on the same level as, like, SPD, like, as far as the past, as far as the after Mighty Morphin era seasons, heck, it could even be almost akin to In Space, where you have one continuous storyline throughout, and it's so great, and I love that about them bringing in a father and son aspect. What did you think of Master Finn?
Again, the story... Master Finn's great. The episode, the first episode, is wonderful. Casey's pissed off. Theo has Master Swoop. Lily has Master Finn. And now, what about Casey? Where's my new master? I need, these guys are evolving. I need to evolve. You know, patience. It'll come to you when it comes to you. All of a sudden, Master Finn's there. Casey brings him back to show Master Finn to RJ, and he's like, "Oh, a new master. Hello, Dad." And he's like,
"Hello, Dad."
He's
yeah.
like, "What?" So, and you know, they do the whole we haven't talked for so many years because my dad wanted me to follow in his footsteps, but I'm not a shark, and so, you know, my animal isn't a shark. My animal's a wolf. And then they come to find out, you know, Master Finn's kind of like, "You're absolutely right, and I'm sorry for trying to force you to be a cop like me." You know what I mean? So what, you want to be a nurse instead of a cop? You know, that's kind of like where they went. Again, a good storyline.
Yeah. The final three, I felt, were not used enough. They were just kind of there to, like, side train the Rangers. You have Master Rilla, Master Gwyn, and Master Lope. Master Rilla possesses the spirit of the gorilla. Well, that's easy enough for, I don't know. Master Rilla, I like all of their looks, but I just felt these three just didn't, I don't know, they just didn't really hit home until, like, the very end of the series.
Well, they didn't get a chance to. I mean, they were in, like, the spirit world where, you know, you weren't even allowed to go to, let alone go back there and leave. So it's not like, I mean, they already broke the rule by going there and coming back because they had to. So they couldn't just be like, "Oh, we're going to come in, come out. But obviously, if you people haven't realized, Rilla is the gorilla. Gwyn is the penguin. And Lope is the antelope.
Antelope, yeah.
Which I thought was kind of like so cool, yet so stupid and cheesy.
The two, I already mentioned one of my, like, minor nitpicks and complaints with the series, which was, you know, Jared's fur coat. The other one, a flying, spinning penguin. Penguins don't fly.
With a surfboard.
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, the surfboard is what flew. It was never the penguin. It wasn't like the penguin just up and...
Well, right, but he was the penguin was spinning on the surfboard as it flew, and it's like the whole thing was just, that was the cheesiest part in this.
See, I liked it because never ever would I imagine that you're going to see a penguin zord to fight off evil. That would be the first, if you know the, what's the other thing, like a baby chicken. It's like, what other animal can they think of that is just a straight sissy? Oh, a penguin. And they made it. And I thought it was cool because a penguin walked.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights.
Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Water, a surfboard water, and he just rode on the surfboard. Now, I didn't absolutely love the penguin, but, you know, I love the other way they looked. I'm with you definitely on the looks of them. I love Master Lope's look, too. He just looked like a straight old-ass master from some weird-ass village that was just going to whoop someone's butt. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. All right, so moving on to the villains. You have Dai Shi, who is the ancient evil that wanted to rid the world of the human race and believe that the animals should be the rightful rulers. He has returned from being sealed by the Order of the Claw generations ago, in turn possessing Jared. Probably as he saw darkness in Jared's heart due to his dark, violent nature, with the resembled evil army at his command, he seeks to continue where he left off, starting the Beast War anew. Oh, hey, where's Megatron when you really need him?
Yeah.
Dai Shi, like I said, by the end, he was just a floating spirit ball of light thing. Dai Shi in Jared's body, I liked, because the whole acting job of the actor that played Jared and Dai Shi, you know, the whole, like you said earlier, the whole switcheroo around with, you know, Jared breaking through or Dai Shi breaking through, I like that, but the overall concept of Dai Shi and what he is, I just don't care.
Well, I mean, you got to look at it like, Dai Shi is a cause, and I don't want to intermingle these, but it's kind of like Dai Shi is a god, and people are looking up to God, and they realize his potential, like Camille and all the other overlords and the shadow beasts, the phantom beasts, the phantom beasts, and it's kind of like they realize what he was, so they're just trying to work with this ball of light, if you will, or whatever. If you look at it like he's just a ball of light, then he's just a ball of light. But they're looking at it like he's a god among you know, masters and beast kings. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's almost like he's evil Jesus in this Power Ranger world. And they're trying to resurrect him by these screams and people's fears.
Oh my god, that's so funny. And then you've got Camille, who is Dai Shi's female servant who awaited his return. She was originally the master over the chameleon spirit. While able to assume a fighting form and infuse Raishi beasts with more power, when Dai Shi became the Phantom Beast King, she was given the spirit of the Phoenix by choice. After betraying Dai Shi, her Phoenix powers were stripped from her. Camille, I like her. She's probably one of the better female villainesses out of the Power Rangers.
Probably the best.
Yeah, she's one of the better ones.
I hate to keep going back to this. I'm beating the crap out of this poor dead horse. But she was such a good character because it was such good storytelling. Yeah. They made you care about her even though she was bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like right now with Samurai, I wish I could remember her name. And as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to remember. But the main villain, female character.
That I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Plays, she's constantly playing her like her little guitar thing. Yeah, I could care less about her. You know what I mean? She has a good storyline going with, oh my God. I'm totally Jungle Fury mode and have nothing to do with Samurai, right?
We'll come back to it.
But anyway, you know, and it's just like I've watched every single episode of Samurai and I still just don't care about her, you know?
Dayu. Dayu and Decker have the thing going on. Yeah.
Dayu.
Dayu, whatever.
Decker and Dayu. Like, yeah. Decker's like old, like main squeezed or like wife or something. I can't remember now, but it's just.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to Samurai. I'm gonna tell the listeners right now. I'm gonna be honest about this, and I'm gonna also mention this next month when we do RPM. It might be a couple months before we get to Samurai.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really even interested in covering Samurai at all. If I could erase it from Power Rangers history, I would.
Yeah, there's a couple of good. I mean, and to be honest, it's actually picking up probably because it's starting. It's you know, it's end. So it's probably in the last, I don't know, probably 5 to 10 episodes. I'm not sure. I haven't really counted this season's episodes, but it's actually finally starting to pick up. So yeah. That means it's about over.
Getting back to the overlords for Jungle Fury, you've got Carnosaur, Jellica, and Grizzaka. Carnosaur is the Sky Overlord, Jellica is the Sea Overlord, and the Land Overlord is Grizzaka. So Jellica being the Sea Overlord, does that mean she's a jellyfish?
Yep, exactly. Yep.
And again, I like how this series is making sense of its not only its Power Rangers and its allies, but also its villains, where, you know, you've got something as simple as named as Jellica, and she's the overlord of this. You know, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of writing something that would make absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Well, Carnosaur is the Sky Overlord, and there's obviously no bird or anything called Car, so they went with Soar, like birds soar.
Birds soar, yeah.
So they stayed with the whole theme. Then you got, you know, Grizzaka, obviously, is a grizzly bear, and then Jellica, a jellyfish. So yeah, just
what did you think of these three?
Oh, I liked them. You know, no, I wish Carnosaur wasn't such a hoe because he was kind of like he was the first one gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked how those three were a team, as a team, kind of working for Daishi but against Daishi because they're kind of like, yeah, we don't know about this, because Camille is the one that awakened Jellica to overthrow Carnosaur. Because Carnosaur was being a jerk to Daishi. And then Jellica's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, now we're both jerks.
Yeah. And then as... This is why I said you could almost split this series into two seasons, is because you have almost two completely... not different storylines, but you have two completely different... villain sidekicks or whatever, because next up you have the Phantom Beast Generals in Scorch, Snapper, and Weiger.
Yep.
So Scorch is the leading Phantom Beast General holding the spirit of the Avalon Dragon, Snapper is the Phantom Beast General holds the spirit of the Snapping Turtle, and Weiger is the Phantom Beast General holds the spirit of the White Tiger. Now, this is interesting to me, because you got the Red and the White Tiger versus each other. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, the only thing that I was so hoping for is when Weiger gave Casey his Tiger Spirit, I so wished just once that he would have called out White Tiger.
White Tiger.
So awesome. But you know, he stayed with his regular Tiger, which is perfectly fine.
Yeah.
You know, but I just was like, oh my God, please, please call for it. And he didn't. Yeah. Weiger ended up being a guy that Daishi threw to the dirt. And Weiger ended up trying to get Daishi back on his side by destroying Casey, taking his animal spirit. And then later on, Casey saving him. And Weiger realizing that, you know, he didn't have to do that for me after I've been trying to destroy him. You know, so there is good. There is good in everybody, you know, and that's, and again, another
Star Wars reference.
Yeah, good, another meaning behind something. You know what I mean? Exactly. Another, you know, message is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I like the Phantom Beast Generals. I thought they were all really cool.
But the only thing I was confused on is, at first I thought the eyes were, so there was only three Phantom Beast Generals, and then the eight eyes were of what they ended up bringing in later. Because the way I was taking it was there was going to be eight of these Phantom Beasts, but five of those eyes were destroyed, but Jellica kept the three. Wasn't it Jellica brought these three to life?
She brought the three to life because the other five were destroyed, and the archaeologist chick had the other five.
Yeah, but later on they talk about there only being three Phantom Beast Generals, like in the Great War. You know, these three generals are what lasted. So it's like, wait, hold on. So are the eight characters that they brought in later, were those, you know, because later, I can't think of any of their damn names.
Yeah.
The Phantom Beasts, Scorch, Snapper, and Wiger bring on eight other characters, like a unicorn and, like, what else was there, a monkey and stuff like that. So were those the eight eyes? Which then doesn't make any sense either, because she took the three of the eyes and made these three guys. So I was just kind of confused by that.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone will tell us next month. And then you've got the... you've got the putties of the series in the Rin Shi. These are... I actually had to click on the link in the script. These essentially are... they're also known as Chinese hopping vampire or zombies. These main forms of these things just... No. I don't mind the powered up monster forms. But these are like 21st century putties, essentially.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the things I didn't like about Jungle Fury. So,
and they also have the movements of the cogs from the Machine Empire, the little dance movements of, hey, I'm going to move my arms and my hands and my head. Yeah.
They looked badass. They looked awesome. I love their get-up, but I just wish they wouldn't have been bouncing. I'm just not threatened by a jack-in-the-box. I'm not threatened by it.
Yeah,
but I mean, if I seen a group full of ninjas bouncing at me like that, because they look like ninjas, you don't know what the hell they are. Yeah, I'm running. I'm definitely running. But I don't know. If I'm a ranger, I don't fear these guys.
No, and they weren't really used all. I mean, they were used, but like most of the time, like you create, you know, you have one that turns into a monster, and then the rest of it's just an army, and it's like, hey, 21st century putties,
right?
So getting into the arsenal, something different for this series, Solar Morphers.
One more thing I really dislike.
Really? You didn't like the Solar Morphers?
I could deal without the sunglasses. I liked their sequence. I liked how they did it. I could have really done without the Morphers. And there was I think it was the Dominic episode where Jared laid his glasses down in his hat. That really pissed me off. Because never ever did you.
It was Casey.
I don't know why I said
Jared. It wasn't Jared. It was Casey.
Casey puts his stuff in the hat, puts it on the thing. Dominic knocks it off into the trash can. He's like, "How long's this been in there?" Well, douchebag face.
Yeah.
Never ever has any ranger do I ever remember laying down their morpher. I don't care if you're taking out the trash or sweeping around the.
Well, no, I will have to correct you on that. There was a time.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I'm in MMPR where Tommy was training and his morpher was in his bag away from him and he didn't hear it. So,
okay. Was that part of the storyline?
Well, no, because it was just Tommy's morpher, but it was him. The Rangers were battling something. I don't remember what episode at this point and from the command center, I don't remember what episode of Mighty Morphin it was. I remember I think it was season. It was when he was still a Green Ranger.
It was a communicator, not a morpher, because the morpher doesn't get.
Okay, right. Okay, was the communicator, but it's.
And then you seen Jason and Tommy fighting. Obviously, they didn't have their morpher on, or did they? Because you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't really do anything with it. Like, he took off his glasses. He still had his pouch on his belt. Laid him in his hat. They got thrown in the trash. Like, what's the point of that? I know they were just trying to make Dominic that much more of a klutz or a mess up, but I just done without the. I'm glad it wasn't his cell phone again. You know,
that's one of the reasons why I love the Solar Morphers. It's not a fucking cell phone.
Right. I don't hate it. I would say hate. I dislike.
Yeah, I think why I like the Solar Morpher so much is it is something unique. Just kind of like when Time Force happened with the unique sequence that we get in Time Force. The thing with the Solar Morphers is it's something completely different. It's not a wrist morpher. it almost blends the animal spirits with technology, because instead of talking into your wrist or, you know, a watch, you know, you've got, you know, it's almost like, think of it as Eric in Time Force, where he's got that giant ass microphone in front of his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I can kind of see that.
Yeah.
I did like how they could put the glasses on and kind of see what was happening. Well, that's what I assumed was happening, because they would put them on and they'd be like, oh no, this is happening.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's kind of a blend of Eric's stuff from Time Force. It's a blend of the helmet powers from Mighty Morphin the movie.
Yeah.
Remember when Tommy's like, Rocky, see what you can see or whatever he says, and power scope on. So it's kind of a blend of everything, and that's kind of why I like it. And again, like I said, why I liked it is it's a departure from your average wrist morpher. So yeah. You've got the Battle Claws, the standard knuckle guards for the Jungle Fury Rangers. These were henshin devices for the Gekken Rangers. The Battle Claws, I thought they were cool, but again,
they weren't really a big deal in Jungle Fury like they were in Gekken Ranger. Yeah. They're a pretty big deal in Gekken Ranger, and they're not really, they're just part of the outfit in Jungle Fury.
Yeah.
Because you're not confusing the Battle Claws with the Master weapon, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. It was kind of like it's kind of like Wes's Battleizer cloth. Not Wes. Leo, his Battleizer claw thing from Lost Galaxy is what it kind of reminded me of. Then you've got the Jungle Chucks, which is Casey's weapon. Again, this series is taking all kinds of stuff from all kinds of... Because essentially the Jungle Chucks and the Jungle... I'm not going to call it a Tonfa. I'm going to call it a bow. It's essentially... Casey and Theo are Mikey and Donnie.
Right.
When it comes to...
I was perfectly happy with that. You know what I mean?
No, I was fine with it too. I liked it.
Since you're having nunchucks instead of a sword, I'm okay with that.
Oh, yeah. No, that was really cool. And you got the Jungle Mace, which was given to Lily by Master Fan. I like the Jungle Mace. I thought that was cool.
Well, she had... what she had before the mace, though.
Oh, man.
She had, like, the big boss man, like... No, no, no. Theo had, like, the big boss man twirlers.
Yeah.
And then...
Casey had the nunchucks. What did Lily have?
Lily had the bow, didn't she? Yeah, Lily had the bow. Because there was a time where Dominic's like, you got to loosen it up a little bit. And then she like throws it at like RJ because she doesn't have a good grip on it.
No, it says here that the bow team sidearm weapons with two fighting modes. The Tonfa mode is used by the Blue Ranger, while the combined bow mode is wielded by the...
Yeah, this is incorrect then, because she had the bow.
What Wikipedia, because that's where we're getting the information from, what they did was they combined the two weapons. The Jungle Tonfa is Theo's weapon, and then the Jungle Bow is Lily's weapon.
She had the, what do they call those things, like, that cops have?
Baton sticks.
Yeah, he pretty much had two baton sticks, and she had a bow.
A bow, yeah.
And then later, she got the mace.
The mace.
She got the fan, and then Casey got the shark sabers.
Shark sabers, yeah. The claw cannon essentially is the same as any other cannon in Power Rangers history.
Yep, you knew it was happening.
Yep. Couldn't we have at least given Casey like an armored vehicle or something?
No.
A strike rider?
No, I'm perfectly fine with this because he's the only one that has a bike this time. The only time I didn't like it is the first time he used it, and they used those awful effects where it looked like a crappy, I don't even know what you call it, like 8-bit video game.
Yeah.
Where he was like bouncing around, and he's like, ah, yeah. And I was just like, no, that's stupid. You know, any other time he just folded over his head, put his head down, and charged into, you know, the crowd or the main bad guy.
Yeah. And then you have the claw boosters, which are claw-like weapons that allow the Rangers to access their Jungle Master mode.
Yep.
And then you've got the Wolf Morpher, RJ's Morpher, which allows him to become the Wolf Ranger using the morphing call Jungle Beast Spirit Unleashed. the wolf morpher goes, the wolf and the rhino morphers go back to the wrist thing. And for RJ and Dominic, I don't mind this because the other three have the sunglasses. I like that they kept, they kind of did, hey, let's do something new, but at the same time, let's also do something that most fans would recognize.
Well, the rhino blade was the morpher. They only used the bracelet the one time when RJ is like, hey, this is how you access your inner spirit morpher.
Yeah. And then you also have the control dagger, which is the small blue and silver colored dagger. It was given to Dominic by Master Mao before he departed from the Pai Shua Temple. It allows the wielder to bypass the barrier surrounding the Rhino Nexus. It also allows Dominic to summon and control the Rhino Steel Zord.
Again, awesome episode.
Yeah, that was very cool.
He had the dagger hid away somewhere very safe. And then it was in the crack of that seat at that restaurant. And Theo's like, really? Really? Seriously? Somewhere real safe? No one will ever find it? And he's like, no one found it, right? And he's like, yeah, it's because you put it in the seat with crunched up potato chips and old food. And he's like, yeah, no one found it.
Because no one's going to reach under there to clean that stuff up.
Yeah, I was like, hell yeah, because I totally forgot about that. When I, you know, from watching it back in 08 or whatever, you know, and I was totally like, F yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. And then you've got, let's go ahead and get into the Zords. We've kind of already gone down all the animal spirits. But that's essentially what all the Zords are. They are obviously Zords of the spirit. So you've got the tiger, the cheetah, the jaguar for the main three, the wolf, wolf, elephant, bat, shark, gorilla, penguin, antelope, and rhino. What I like about all the spirits is that it's not necessarily where, hey, let's summon the spirit and it encases us in a suit of armor. It's, hey, let's summon the spirit and it's a visual effect of a hidden spirit attacking someone. And I really like that. I thought that was, again, kind of calling back a little bit to Lost Galaxy with the way that the Galactabeasts were. I really liked how the animal spirits in general acted before they actually were Zords.
I absolutely agree.
The Rangers all control Megazords, and by combining them together can use the Spirit Zord Stampede to destroy stronger enemies. The Jungle Pride Megazord, I don't know how I feel about this one. What did you like or dislike about Jungle Pride?
I liked the Jungle Pride Megazord okay. I liked how they made it, though. They had to make it kind of that way, because this whole series is kind of based off, you know, I guess, I don't know, you want to call it like a ninja, and they couldn't really give him a big, bulky Megazord suit, so they gave him this real tight suit in order for him to kind of do what he does, because he was always fast jabbing and kicking and everything like that, and you rarely ever seen a big Megazord do that. You know what I mean? Like the original Megazord, for instance.
Yeah.
But I was perfectly happy with that. And then, you know, when you added, like, you know, the shark and the bat, you added what else?
The elephant.
I liked it. It looked perfectly fine.
Again, I like the combinations. I just wasn't too keen on the main body of the Jungle Pride Megazord. It kind of, again, this series is reminding me of so much other stuff. The whole combination way of doing stuff in this kind of reminds me of how the Dino Thunder Zords were. And I like that. I think it's really cool. And then you have the Wolf Pride Megazord. Wolf's spirit replaces the cheetah to form this Megazord. The Wolf Ranger is able to manifest the tiger and jaguar animal spirits on his own to form the Megazord, while the other Rangers are using the Jungle Master Megazord. This mode enables the Megazord to fire the wolf's tail as a spinning blade from its leg, an attack called Spin Fury. I like the Wolf Pride Megazord, but I don't think it had enough. I don't think it had enough screen time.
Yeah. Plus, it probably showed up in 7 or 8, 9 episodes, I'd say. Anytime the
out of 32, though, I mean, that's, well, yeah.
She didn't even see it until episode 10.
Yeah, that's true.
So out of 20 episodes, it showed up about almost half the time. But I don't know. I'm kind of with you on to a certain extent, it's like I don't see how much better replacing the cheetah with the wolf is. I just don't. You know, that's kind of taken away from Lily's character or Lily's Zord. It's like, oh, the wolf is so much better that when we replace the wolf with the cheetah, it's like a whole brand new awesome Megazord. Which I could, I don't know, I could have been, I just would have done, I could have done without that. You know, I don't know what they could have done. Maybe made the wolf one of the hands, you know, because in Wild Force, you know, they had like the Predazord, one of the hands was a wolf. They could have easily took off one of Casey's arms and just made the wolf the hand, you know, but again, that has nothing to do with Jungle Fury. That's more like a Sentai thing that that Power Rangers just took, you know, did their own thing with.
Yeah, and then you've got the Jungle Master Megazord. When the Red, Blue, and Yellow Rangers are in their Jungle Master mode, it gives them the access to the Gorilla, Penguin, and Antelope spirits. Together they form the Jungle Master.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Master Megazord, its finishing move is a powerful swinging hammer punch referred to as the Spin Fury and Fury Fists. They love using Spin Fury in this series, apparently.
Yeah, they do. You caught that pretty early.
Yeah, I like the Jungle Master Megazord. It again reminds me of a past Ranger series where, you know, you had the main Megazord, then you had another Megazord that, you know, an ape or a gorilla or whatever else was the main. Was it? I'm trying to think. Wasn't Dino Thunder? What the hell was it?
It was MMPR. Because he was the... Well, they didn't have two Zords, though.
No. This is after MMPR. Yeah, I know. It was the movie with Rocky with the Ape. But no, this was... Oh, God. There was a separate team.
It wasn't Wild Force, was it?
It might have been Wild Force. I don't remember. Anyway, what did you think of the Jungle Master Megazord?
What did I think of the Jungle Master Megazord? I'll tell you what. Instantly after this episode aired, I went to eBay. Or actually, I went to Toys R Us to look for this, and it was not there, so I went directly to eBay and I purchased this item. I'm a huge fan of it. I love the Penguin Zord. As much as you dislike it, I love
it. I don't overall dislike it. I just, when I saw it, I was thinking, oh wow, this is where this series jumps the shark.
Yeah, it's just, I just loved how it was different than, you know, again, you're going towards, you had so many different series where the main character was always a lion. Instead, they went with a tiger. Instead of a tiger being the secondary animal, they went with a cheetah or a leopard. You know what I mean? So it's like a jaguar. So it's like they were just on a whole different scale. And instead of a bear, they went with a freaking antelope. And I like that. Yeah. I mean, they went back to the big strong ape, which I'm okay with that. You know, because like the main body of this Zord is an ape, which is fine. But they went with a penguin and an antelope. Who the hell seen that coming? You know what I mean? It was good to switch it up.
Yeah. And then finally we have the Rhino Pride Megazord. The Rhino Steel Zord transforms into the humanoid Rhino Pride Megazord, also sometimes called the Rhino Warrior Mode. It uses the horn on the rhino's head as a sword and finishes opponents with the Rhino Blade Slash. I like the Rhino Megazord. I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Nothing too fancy, nothing to really complain about. I liked how he had to go get it, you know what I mean, and how the whole Destiny episode and all that stuff, when Daishi, like, tried to put the sword in the tree or whatever, and he was like, yeah, this whole time it was my destiny, blah, 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 and goes and gets the Megazord.
Yeah.
Instead of a master just handing it to him. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. All right, so I think we're going to send it over to Spada for the Sentai, which it'll be Gekka Ranger this time around.
And we'll come back with thoughts after that.
Hey folks, Spade of the Bolt Matrix here, and today we are talking about Juken Sentai Geki Ranger. 4,000 years ago in China, a form of Kenpo martial arts referred to as Beast Fist, or Juken, style was developed. Whoever practices this fighting style can mimic animal abilities as well as reach a spiritual plane. Masters of the craft became a beast man form. There were 10 masters, but rebellion broke loose and 3 of the masters defected from the whole and established the Confrontation Beast Fist Agugata that focuses on principles of natural selection that only the strong could survive. This is the basis, the base plot of Geki Ranger. Now, Geki Ranger did air from February 18th of 2007 to February 10th of 2008, and the overall theme was martial arts. This is pretty much the overall theme of the show. Now, the show did start off with only 3 Rangers, Red, Blue, and Yellow. Eventually, the Rangers were joined by the Violet Ranger and the White Ranger, or Geki Chopper, as he was known as. The Rangers are John, Ron, and Retsu in Red, Yellow, and Blue. Violet is Go, and Chopper is Ken. Now, this is an interesting beginning, as John, or Gon, I've heard it pronounced John and Gon, but I think it's John, who is Geki Red. He was raised by tigers within a forest away from society. Nobody knows why. Because of his upbringing, he has heightened senses. He's able to think with his body and not his brain. He also uses a very strange language, or a very strange version of Japanese, called Jonish. The language includes such depictions as Kena Kena, Goro Goro, Zawa Zawa. Needless to say, this is a little bit weird and really kind of strange. At first, the fan subbers didn't really know how to treat this, so they would literally write Zawa Zawa on the screen. So, no big deal. Just a little odd. What is even more weird are the Juken Rangers are led by Master Shafu. Master Shafu is a humanoid cat. It's a dude in a giant cat costume with no real hands. He's got paws, but it's weird to say the least. Not really threatening, but a little strange. The villain side is also shown to have guys in beast costumes. The first one is the Sky Fist Demon Kata. He is an eagle. The second is the Sea Fist Demon Rageku, who is a jellyfish. And the last but not least is the Land Fist Demon Maku. He is the most powerful of the three, and his animal is the bear. He is also the most feared of the three. Along with that are the two main antagonists for the entire show. The first is Melee, who is the chameleon user, who is, I'll be honest, she is shown as a normal human with a really interesting getup, and she's actually pretty interesting. Then her love, so to quote unquote, is Rio, the Black Lion, or the Black Ranger. I'm not really sure if he's ever referred to as a Black Ranger, but he's the Black Lion user. He's a very interesting character who starts out as just being evil, but it turns out, you know, his whole family was murdered and things like that, and he was tried to be raised by Master Shafu to be good, and he turned evil because he thought the evil was stronger, and then he's redeemed at the end of the show, and you know how that goes. It's typical Super Sentai. Another typical Super Sentai trait, or trope in this case, is the real villain, and that real villain's name is Long. He's also referred to as Ron a couple of other places. That just has to do with the way the Japanese language works. They don't have an L in their language, so it could be either one. The folks that produced the show haven't really come out and said what is true. He originally showed up as in episode 23, and he's actually the Genjuken Dragon Fist Master. He's actually the guy that created all of these different made-up martial arts. He's also extremely powerful, and he has the head of an Orochi dragon on him. And I believe that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's got something like 12 dragon heads or something like that. He ends up being the final boss and that the Rangers have to defeat. He also takes the Melee and Ryo and makes them his own disciples in order to power them up. Melee goes from a chameleon to a phoenix, and Ryo goes from a lion to a gold lion. Yeah, not much of a difference there. There are also a couple of generals that work underneath him, but they're dispatched in their own time. Overall, the series is very interesting. What we have in the show with the Geki Beasts, or what we know as the Jungle Fury Megazords, we start off with the 3 Megazord, which has to be, I'm sorry, it's got to be the most lazy design of a Megazord. You take 3 different cats, a tiger, cheetah, and a panther, and merge them together. And that was all to fit their gimmick. They have a spinning gimmick that's shown in the show, and it shows up in the toys, that it's just really stupid. Then after that, we have Geki Fire that comes along, which is the upgraded form when the Geki Rangers get their Super Geki Ranger forms. They train under different masters. Red trains under a gorilla master. The blue trains under an impala master, which is the kind of deer that lives in Africa. And then we have our first Penguin Megazord. I love the Penguin Megazord. It even has its own surfboard. Those 3 merge together to form Geki Fire, and they have a similar gimmick where instead of the body spinning, the arms spin around. And then after that, we have Psy-Dio, which is Geki Chopper's Megazord, which is a giant rhino that turns into its own warrior form. Unfortunately, I personally think Psy-Dio is stupid. Their Gigazord form is pretty much everything forming together and pegging into Psy-Dio, and it just looks ridiculous. I'm sorry. The show Geki Ranger is one of my favorite Ranger shows because it's not just the Rangers that are interesting, but all the other characters. The villains are interesting. The side characters are interesting. All of the characters are interesting. And the action in the show is, I think, better when it's a martial arts centerpiece. It just seems to work better. And the wire work in this show is much, much better than it used to be in some of the other shows. I'm not going to spoil anything more, even though I've spoiled quite a bit, because I really think you need to go and check this show out. Geki Ranger is up there with Maji Ranger as my favorite Super Sentai shows. So really, you really deserve or owe it to yourself to go out and take a look at this show and watch it from beginning to end. It's got a great ending, it's really fun, and it's just a good Super Sentai show. So this has been Spade of the Vault Matrix. You can check me out on YouTube, where you can see my reviews of all of these toys at www.youtube.com/Vault Matrix. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Vault Matrix. And check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/Vault Matrix Reviews. I'll catch you guys next time.
Thank you once again, Spada, for your awesome Sentai coverage. Geki Ranger sounds really strange to me.
Well, it's probably just really confusing because, like we talked about, there was 90,000 bad guys. So now think of 90,000 bad guys with different names and Spada trying to explain it to you in an 8-minute clip.
Yeah.
So, something that Spada didn't really touch on. The claw, or whatever you want to call it, in the Sentai series is like Nike. Like, it's like cool. It's like, go buy a claw t-shirt. We have claw shoes. We have claw scarves and claw jackets. You know, oh, you want to be like the Rangers? Buy you a claw hat. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like a warehouse with these people on the phones, like answering calls, taking orders for this claw merchandise. So it was kind of the opposite, as opposed to our Jungle Fury guys trying to keep their identity a secret, and they're just kind of like, hey, look at this, we're the Power Rangers.
Yeah, I like that. I don't think at this point it's every other series, but I like how certain series people know the Rangers and certain series they don't. I think it just kind of makes it more, some depending on the series, depending on the story, it makes more sense if everyone knows who they are, kind of like Mystic Force, where eventually everybody found out or whatever else. But with Jungle Fury and the overall story, before we kind of pick, you know, talk about our favorite episodes, but I wrote down a couple of notes as I was watching it. The poison episode. I have a huge issue when Casey gets poisoned, and then they put a wet cloth on his head, and then after that it's never talked about again. That's just bad writing. I'm sorry it is. They spend one episode, what's the episode title? A Taste of Poison, where Casey gets poisoned, they put a wet cloth on him, and he just instantly recovers the next episode. They don't ever really go back to it at all.
I don't really remember that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And then this is just kind of like a little nitpick. It's not really anything against the series, but I thought it absolutely hilarious. Casey's little helper there, the kid that stole the money from him, that eventually in the end learned his ways.
Yeah.
He only gets a quarter a table. That's like slave labor. That's like slave wage.
Well, at least, I mean, I don't know. I mean, a quarter a table to bust a table at the age of, how do you think he was, 10?
Yeah.
He's only trying to save up, like, what? What was it, like, $5.50 or something?
$5, yeah.
I mean, that's a day's work.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, if the little dirtbag doesn't want to work a quarter per table, then go steal somebody else's money.
Yeah.
While we're on dislikes, I have one more. Okay. Did not like how, at the beginning of the episode, they ruined what was going to happen later in that episode. They did it every single time. They did it when Dominic came. They showed the Rhino Ranger before you even knew he was going to be there. For the Spirit Rangers, which was Swoop and Fenn and Master Fenn, they showed the team together with the explosion in the background. Like, how do I know that's going to happen? Well, not because you ruined it for me. What else? The Wolf Ranger. It's just like anything. They could have just waited one more episode to show that beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's probably nitpicking, but I want to be surprised. I don't want to know who the killer is. The beginning of the frickin' movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I wish they wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Favorite episodes. I like the opening two-parter. I thought that was a nice way to set it up. And I think the whole twist of Jared being possessed and then Casey having to eventually become a leader, and the whole fact that Lily and Theo are so far ahead of him in their training, but then obviously as the series progresses, catches up. I like that about the first two-parter. Let's see what else. Blind Leading the Blind, which is the Master Swoop episode. I like that. Ghost of a Chance. I like that two-parter.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite by far. Ghost of a Chance Part 1 and 2. You got the three Rangers needing more training. Master Mao, RJ gets captured. His last words are, you know, figure out what to do. You know what to do. Look inside yourself. Master Mao sends them to the spirit world where, in order for them to get these new master spirits, they need to do something. So they're all like, all right, we'll kick anybody's butt. I don't give a damn. Nope. Now you have to fight.
Face your worst fears.
Exactly, which was cool. I mean, they didn't spend a lot of time on it. Theo was scared of seeing. He didn't want to be booed. Casey's, there's a boogeyman in the closet. And then Lily was scared of spiders. And it was really quick. But it was cool how instead of fighting some evil guy to get a spirit or to get a new weapon, they had to beat what was inside. Again, another message with you can overcome fear.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what that was.
Yeah. There was an episode, I forget which one it is, where they get stuck in a TV show. That was the one.
That was just a recap episode.
That was the one episode where I'm like, yeah, I can skip this.
Yeah, they do that every year. What is that? It's
it's kind of like Movie Madness.
Don't blow that dough.
Yeah.
It was totally lame. Yeah, you could, anybody can skip that. All it is if you're a little kid and you got into the middle of the season and you don't know why Jared's the bad guy, well, they're gonna tell you why.
Yeah,
because they totally. Pretty much just summed up the entire season up to the point.
Yeah, exactly.
Overall, I mean, I liked, outside of that episode, the other 31 episodes are great.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved them all. I don't know. Did you have any other ones that you wanted to talk about that stood out to you?
There wasn't any that I will just say that there wasn't any that I didn't like, but Ghost of a Chance 1 and 2 are my favorites. So there was never, ever a time where I wasn't paying attention because, you know, when we do this, you know, when we do this month by month podcast, I kind of feel sometimes that the series takes a hit because me and you hammer out 32 episodes in 30 days. So instead of watching an episode and being so excited and thinking about it and talking about it with your friends for an entire week up to the next Saturday, yeah. You know what I mean? Instead, yeah. Me and you hammer out 5 episodes a day when we have the time. So right. Some of the times I'll put on Power Rangers and I'll do something else, whether it be writing a review, looking at the new toy I got. I get a phone call, I still let the episode play. You know, with Jungle Fury, it was never, if somebody was talking, I was like, pause. Wait, what'd you just say? I'm sorry, I'm trying to watch this.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
There was,
I think that, you know, yeah. And now that you point that out, and the thing about that is when we revamp the show, I don't know when we're going to be doing it. I'm not exactly sure. I was planning on doing it after Samurai, but it might be after RPM. I don't know exactly when we're going to do it. When we revamp and we come back and we do the FTCC commentaries, obviously, because we're going to be commenting on the episodes as we're watching them, you know, whichever ones we decide to talk about, you know, we'll, you know, there'll be more, you know, more enthusiasm, more things we can point out, more things we can discuss. And that's a way of also furthering the podcast instead of just it being 21 episodes of the overall series, or 22 now that Mega Force is coming out. The music in the series, I absolutely love the theme song. Theme song is great.
Oh, absolutely. No, 100% agree with you. And they always played it at the end, right at the right time. There was so many times where I caught myself like pumping my fist, like, you know, here it comes, because they're playing like the beginning of the Jungle Fury, like you can hear like that drum. You know, yeah. It's like, you know, where the three animals are running at the beginning, and you're like,
yeah,
here it comes.
Yeah, exactly. But the overall series music, when the theme isn't playing, I like that as well, too, because they also have those, again, kind of calling back to Mighty Morphin. And all these callbacks and everything else I'm seeing in the series, I see why this might have been the end of Power Rangers, because they're making all these callbacks. And I like that. But the overall music was just great. Absolutely loved it.
One of the last episodes, I'm looking at the titles. I don't remember. I want to say it's the one where he gets his stripes. So it's probably, was it Tiger Falls? Tiger Lion Rise?
Yeah, Tiger's Fall, Lion's Rise. Yeah.
It was probably so. That where Casey's like.
No. It wasn't that. No,
earn your stripes.
It was to earn your stripes. Yeah. Third to where last.
Casey's like, look, I'm going to the temple. And they're like, you'll die. And he's like, look, I'm going to the temple. And they play that music where he's walking through that crowd of the fake putties. And he's just like, I mean, you didn't hear the song all season. It was completely new. And it was just a badass scene followed up by a badass fight scene in the temple, you know, with Hammond versus Daishi.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was. No, the music in this is absolutely great. Now, you said you went out and you bought the toys. How many of the Jungle Fury stuff do you have?
Well, I did own it all, but when I was making room, I sold it all except for the Jungle Master. Okay. I'm not getting rid of the Jungle Master. But
And after watching the series, you have no desire to hunt them down again?
No, because I just need to put myself in check, you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
there was a Megazord set that I would love to have. It was the Jungle Fury transforming Megazord set, and it was just a smaller version. And it was the only way in U.S. that you could get the Black Lion, the Chameleon, the Lizard. You could pretty much get all of the Zords, all of them combined. You couldn't get. It didn't come with the Rhino or the Jungle Master Megazord, but it had like you know, the bat, the shark, the tiger, you know, right. It had all of them, and it had the black lion and the lizard. But it's, I mean, you look on eBay, that thing's $350. That thing must have been like, they must have made like 10.
Wow.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how high those are. But there was another thing that I liked about the whole season. At the very end, how they beat Daishi with Jared showing up. Them guys, you know, Jared, not, you know, I can't do that. I'm not leaving the temple. I should just destroy myself. Camille's like, brings up a past episode. She's like, you know, the Yellow Ranger told me that I was good inside, and now I'm going to show her that, you know, she was right. So she leaves, yeah. and then Jared's sitting there like, I got to do what I got to do. So then he shows up, and they end up beating Daishi. But what I'm more happy about is they didn't lose their powers. You know, right. Like some of the old series where they're like, well, you're not a Power Ranger anymore. Yeah, but our inner souls are Power Rangers. They didn't do that. They were like, they unmorphed, and they all used their animal spirits as, you know, the three chosen ones.
Yeah. I'm glad that, as soon as I saw the Masters form actual animal forms, like animal costumes, I was like, please don't let everybody else do it. Please don't let everybody else do it. Because, I thought that was another moment where the show jumped the shark with the Masters becoming actual animals of their spirits. And I know that was needed for the story, and I'm fine with that. But I was like, thank God none of the other Rangers had to do that.
Right. Did you think of how Dominic would have looked?
Oh, jeez.
It looked like Bebop or Rocksteady.
Rocksteady.
It was like Rocksteady running around. Live action Rocksteady. All right.
About time. All right, so we're going to take a quick ad break. You're going to hear some other promotions from PCN and DCRN, and we'll come back to close the show after this.
Kid? Yes? Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe, from the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth and Beyond the Night only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit?
Yes, Michael?
Just keep driving.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.popculturenetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to popculturenetwork.com and click on store.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
Hey yo, this message is from the Command Center. This is Barry, a.k.a. the Black Ranger, and I just listened to the podcast on Operation Overdrive, and I have some insight into the episode titles. I once read in an interview that Bruce Kalish liked to have one-word titles. It started with SPD as like a little joke, so, you know, they have Boom Zapped, and then Mystic Fork had two-word episode titles, and then it just carried over into Overdrive, where it had the three-word thing. So it's like basically 1, 2, 3, you know. If you ask me, I thought it was pretty corny. And by the way, Disney did release the full complete set of Operation Overdrive. that was the only full set from 2007 to 2008. So if you're down to that, cop that. And I gotta say, what up to my boy Scotty Cash? Yeah, man, I like Aisha too. She was pretty tight. I liked her, and I like you too, man. TFG1, go G1. You got the power. You guys got the power. See, I combine Transformers, Morphin. It's a hyper. Anyway, keep doing your thing. You know, do it up big. Love you, man. Peace out. Ow!
So we are back, and before we get into any final thoughts and stuff, before Scotty makes his announcement, we got a voicemail from the Black Ranger, not Zach, but another fan who calls himself a Black Ranger, who informed us that all of Overdrive is on DVD, and he also, you know, really likes the show as well. So thank you so much for leaving the voicemail. It was very, very awesome. Did you have anything to reply to him about?
No, thanks. Thanks for the awesome voicemail. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Again, when we recorded Overdrive and I said that I wasn't sure about the DVD thing, I hadn't looked it up, and I'm still waiting for future Power Rangers releases from Shout Factory. So at the time of Overdrive's recording, I wasn't sure. So thank you so much to the Black Ranger for calling in and letting us know that the entire season is currently on DVD for Operation Overdrive, but I'm sure as Shout Factory continues their deal with Saban that they'll be re-releasing it as well. You have an announcement from the Pop Culture Network, sir.
Speaking of Shout Factory, this works out perfect. Shout Factory was kind enough to send us two copies of Season 1, Volume 2. Okay, you obviously know one of them copies is going to be right in my DVD collection. The other copy we're actually going to give out. I am going to do a review on the first, my copy. I'm not going to just be like, oh, thanks for nothing, you know. If you want to be entered into our drawing, how it works is you need to head over to the Pop Culture Network forums or jointheforums.com. It'll be at the top of the page. It'll be sticky noted. It's going to be your funniest story or your craziest or maybe even your weirdest. Maybe it's your worst shopping experience ever, but it has to be some kind of experience. You know, maybe it's a Black Friday. Maybe you're hunting for a scarf that your wife wanted and you got this story. We're going to pick – each of us are going to pick our favorite story, and then we'll probably put those into a hat and then draw that way. You know, there's four of us. So you're going to have a chance, you know, just make it a good story, you know, and hopefully, you know, you can win the copy. And it doesn't matter where you live. If you live in Germany, Australia, whatever, we're going to pay for shipping. We'll ship it to you. So head on over to jointheforums.com and sign up if you're not signed up. And let's hear your story.
Awesome.
Yep. But my final thoughts on Jungle Fury are it's absolutely wonderful. I had a couple, you know, small dislikes, but my overwhelming love for Jungle Fury just destroys those dislikes. I can live with them ruining, you know, the beginning of the openings for me. I can deal with Master Mao being Garfield because the entire series is a great story built on message, friendship, strength, courage, and just great characters, great writing. It was damn amazing.
Yeah, it was, and I completely agree with you. Those are essentially my final thoughts as well. It was so good, and I had at the beginning of the podcast, I mentioned when I first saw it on TV, it was just like, oh, I saw the first two episodes, and I'm like, okay. But going into it when I watched it on Netflix, I virtually went in with, you know, an open mind and really no expectations. And each episode outside of the Doe episode, you know, each episode it got better and better and better. It was so awesome. Thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the websites geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. You can also join the forums over at Pop Culture Network and leave your stories for that contest that they're running. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We have two iTunes reviews since last episode. One is from Do Yo Yo or Do Do Yo Yo 101. I don't know.
And this is kind of a funny review because he wrote this and published it. It was iTunes approved it a day before I published episode 18. Are they dead? A 5-star review. Are these guys dead? They haven't made any podcasts in 2 months. But besides that, this is an awesome podcast. I listen to this to go to sleep. Not saying they're boring, but okay, you guys keep swagging. And I understand that about listening to podcasts when you're falling asleep, because I've done that too. I've actually been listening to a podcast and I've fallen asleep. So I completely understand and see where he's coming from.
My favorite cartoon of all time is He-Man, the Masters of the Universe, and I put it in all the time and fall asleep. You know, it's just something to do. And I don't blame the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because our voices are so soothing. It's like water bouncing off rocks. Or crickets
skipping stones.
Crickets in the woods. Our voices are so naturist.
Yes, I. Wow. All right. So the other one that we have is by Elizabeth Duggan, left on November 10th. Been a fan of GCRN since TFGM podcast. A 5-star review. Do you want an amazing podcast to listen to for your Power Rangers fix? Listen to this one. These guys are fair, fun, and experienced podcasters. Plus, they have the friggin' Belt Matrix as their super duper Sentai expert. Listen now. So, thank you to everyone who left us iTunes reviews. Absolutely awesome. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at TFG1Mike. You can also follow at Pop Culture Net for all their updates and at Geekcast Radio for all our other network updates. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network and Pop Culture Network. You can watch PCN on YouTube with the award-winning From the Command Center video series, youtube.com/popculturenetwork. Are you doing any more episodes of the video series?
Yeah.
Are you going to do a video review with the DVD set?
Oh, absolutely. I got to do that. And then to be honest, I ran out of Power Ranger toys. I'm on episode 40. I did 40 different items. I mean,
Right.
I just got the new stuff, Mega Force. I'm going to be doing that this week. I'm going to be doing I bought the Robo Morpher. I'll probably do the same. Probably from the Command Center episode 41 is going to be that. So it's technically it's been about a month since I done the last one. So yeah, I need to do that DVD quick because Shaw Factory wants that stuff. They're like, look, we're giving you the stuff we want to review now. So it's like, okay. But and then there's a toy show coming up on December 9th, which, by the way, is also the same day that me, Duvall, and I believe Killer are going to go see Batman Live. Have you heard of this?
Yes, I've heard of this.
Well, it's coming to our surrounding area, so we're going to check that out. But my point being, I'm going to go to a toy show, and I'm going to look for some Power Ranger toys that I have not done. Yeah. And I try to look for stuff that is kind of, you know, that people haven't done. You know, like, I done the Spin Fighters. You don't see any other Power Rangers Spin Fighters reviews. You know, I'm trying to find stuff that people haven't done. You know, somebody suggested that I do the cards, like the trading cards or whatever, you know, like from the TV show. That's not a bad idea, you know. And I have a ton of those, but I may look into getting a couple more, or maybe the movie cards, just to try to switch it up, because everybody always does the Megazord. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Yep. So we'll see how that takes me.
You can call our voicemail line. Tell us what you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be continuing the Power Rangers talk with Power Rangers RPM, a series that Scotty seems to dislike and a series I have never seen. So again, this is another one I'm going in open-minded with.
Well, it's already starting off with Cars being the Megazord, so it's like out of the.
Oh, you don't like Cars? Okay, all right.
Plus, I've already seen more than half of the season back in 2009. So.
Yeah. See, I completely missed it back then, so this will be a fresh start for me. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Oh, God. Let the power protect you.